one nation under God, indivisible.
Specific divine being.
Religious discrimination.
Rediscovering God in America.
I truly do believe it's a miracle.
One nation under God.
Power of faith.
All this week, we're talking about faith in America, about politics, about religion, about faith without religion. In short, all the things you're not supposed to talk about in good company, right?
Today, at Thanksgiving dinner.
It could be really ugly. Talk about a food fight. Today, as we get ready to gather for that dinner, many of us are girding for some of those awkward moments when the conversation turns to religion. And there are more than one religious traditions gathered around the turkey. It gets complicated. More than a quarter of Americans who are living with or married to their partner are in an interfaith relationship. This comes from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life.
Which can also make things more adventurous.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it built in diversity in the household.
Yes, indeed.
Good for the kids. So, but how do you navigate all the treacherous shoals? It gets difficult when you get the parents involved, right? Especially over the holidays. To help us mull over these issues, Laurel Snyder, editor of the essay collection Half-Life, Jewish Tales from Mixed Faith Homes. Also joining us right here are Christy Neller Hempel and Ravi Hempel, who recently got married. They're expecting. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Christy comes from a Baptist background. Ravi is Hindu, and they live in Brooklyn now. Let's start with you, Laurel. Good morning to you, by the way.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. You were raised in a Jewish Catholic home, right?
That's right. My dad is Jewish. My mom's Catholic.
Okay, so there's plenty of guilt served up at Thanksgiving dinner there for sure on that one. But explain how did you handle all of that, and was it confusing?
Well, the short version is that my family made a really conscious choice when I was young to raise me Jewish. That was sort of a deal brokered when I was, before I can remember. And so I always had a clear sense of identity when somebody said, like, what religion are you? In right. third grade or something, I knew that I was Jewish. There was a sort of second comment that I then had to add, which, you know, I might or might not, which was, well, and my mom's Catholic. But I always had a very clear understanding of those delineations. And so, like, you know, sort of mom had a Christmas tree, and we all had mom's Christmas tree. But there was never any real confusion over the theology of it for me, which isn't the case in every home.
It could be confusing, though. And I'm curious, you decided to marry a Catholic. And was that something you sought out, or is it just like, you know, this worked for you and as you grew up?
It's definitely not. It's not that simple. I think I ran away for a while and tried to go. And I mean, this is definitely something that I struggled with. I mean, thinking about marriage in the theoretical, but I think that thing happens where you meet somebody and they're the right person and you want to spend your life with them, and suddenly the list of things you had, you know, that you wanted in a partner fly out the window because this is the right person inside.
All right, let's turn to Ravi now and Christy, who are here and expecting in May. And I'm curious, when you announced that you were getting married, let's start with you, Christy. What was the reaction, the family reaction? Any issues?
Not really. Everyone was pretty excited. Again, my family had met Ravi for several years before that, so fell in love with him as a person. So I think there probably might have been reservations, you know, just from a faith standpoint, but none really expressed to me.
But when you're growing up in the Baptist church, it's not like you want to grow up and marry a nice Hindu, right?
Right.
That's not necessarily one of your dreams.
Well, not only that, but just not really exposed to Hinduism or really that much diversity at all, you know? So, it was a learning curve, I think, for my family.
Now, for Ravi, who grew up as a Hindu in Canada.
That's right.
How did it go when you presented this whole idea to your family?
It wasn't as shocking as I thought it would be. You know, at first, I think my mother really thought that I was always going to marry this Indian, you know, Hindu girl, and that would be the way it was. But my dad was
a specific Hindu girl, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's like one that they picked. And so,
not good.
And it was very different. But my dad, you know, coming over in 1964, you know, was discriminated against quite a bit. And so I think his goal was always to make us feel like we were going to have a normal childhood and sort of have this idea of sort of assimilating us in the culture pretty easily. So
he embraced this idea.
He embraced it. He really embraced it.
And you know, embraced Christy, literally.
He did. You know, one of the first things he said was that, oh, you know, that Baptists are very similar to Hindus.
Really?
I never got the explanation why, but he fell right into it.
I'll leave
I
you
can
all
hear
to
Laurel
connect,
is laughing on the line there.
Laurel, you know, one of the things you talk about in your essays is that your husband is kind of an apathetic Catholic. The legions of apathetic Catholics are out there. Does that, in a way, help if one person or even both are not too fervent about their religion?
There's certainly a lot of ways of approaching this. I think it's a lot simpler when there's a dominant religion in the household. I think that there are, and it depends on what the mix is. Obviously, you know, like a Buddhist universalist blend would be easier than, say, a Catholic, like a strong Catholic Orthodox Jewish blend, like religiously. But I think that it's certainly, in my case, was kind of a deal breaker. If my husband had said, no, it's really important that we raise our children in the body of Christ, as a Jewish woman, I couldn't have...
Ravi and Christy, do you have a dominant religion in the household?
I wouldn't say so. Yeah.
But
no.
We got to ask the question, though. Yeah. We got to ask the question. When's the baby due?
May 3rd.
And you're going to raise the baby...
Well, I think we want to have it be pretty open. We want them exposed to both religions. And, you know, feed as much information as possible and sort of, you know, as they grow older, let them choose. That's sort of our general take on it.
Right, you down with that? Totally down with that, Rob?
A sheepish. I wish people could see that look right now.
No, I mean, I think they need to be exposed to both. And I think that's the thing where I think my parents are going to come into play a little bit in terms of, like, teaching them a little bit. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I went to Sunday school when I was younger, which doesn't make any sense.
All right.
Great stories.
Good luck. And
happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I hope it's a nice discussion
Canadian
over the table. Laurel Snyder on the phone. Thank you very much. Christy Neller-Hempel, Ravi Hempel here in the studio. We appreciate it. And good luck with everything.
Thank you.
And our faith series continues tomorrow on the first day of the Hajj. We're going to talk to the special representative to Muslim communities, Farah Pandit, to explain why we need a special representative to Muslims. That's tomorrow. What's your story in our faith series? You can join at 8778 My Take or My Take at thetakeaway.org. You know how to reach us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.